Thank you for spending your Tuesday, the 18th of April, with KHSU. I'm Wendy Butler, and you've got Art Waves. On today's program, two interviews. Later, Real Women Have Curves. Humboldt State University's Theater, Film, and Dance Department presents Josefina Lopez's comedy. I've got the director and two of the actors as my guests. First today, HSU's Reese Bullen Gallery presents the 2017 Art Graduates Exhibition this Thursday, April 20th through May 13th. The opening reception and awards ceremony is scheduled for Thursday from 5 to 6:30 p.m. at HSU's Department of Art building. My guests are three of the artists, all studio art majors and all graduating from HSU next month. Claire Esselstrom, whose emphasis is in painting and drawing. Elisa Griego, who illustrates and draws. And Jackie Langland, who paints and illustrates. We begin with a discussion about their work in this show, and Elisa goes first.
Both my pieces are both drawn at a very small scale using magnifying glasses, and the larger of the two is 8 by 30 inches. It basically details two of the environments I've been immersed in pretty much my entire life.
Two of the environments?
Yes.
That you've been in, that you've been immersed in. Okay, that you've been immersed in. Oh, please go on from there with that. What do you mean?
I pretty much spent my entire life in Red Bluff, California. It's very rural. Spent most of my time in the rural parts, also in the suburbs, very secluded. So I basically was really drawn to being outside just because of social climate and just for personal reasons. I like to be outside. And so when I decided to go to college, I chose a place that my family would always go to for vacation time in the summer, and that was here in Humboldt County. So this drawing has the two scenes of what you'd normally see in Humboldt County and in my hometown. So starting from the right side is my hometown, which is in the valley, and as you start moving towards the left side of the panel, it gets to Humboldt County. Yeah, it's basically the landscape of the valley, which is just like an open field with rolling hills and oak trees, and then a little creek, and then it goes into basically the redwoods. And on each side is framed with a scrub jay from the valley, and on the other side is a Steller's jay.
And all of this you have pulled out of your imagination, or do you reference photographs, or how do you work?
I normally use references, but because this piece is just so close to my heart that I just use like my, just from memory, like what I remember of the landscapes I've just been in my entire life. And then the birds that I've seen just in everyday life that I just, it's kind of like a comfort to see animals that I know very well. So I've just drawn from memory.
Jackie, let's talk about your work in the show.
Okay, I have a painting in the show. It's about 5 feet wide, 4 feet tall. It's branches. They're always branches. I always paint branches. So, and not really for any sort of conceptual reason besides the fact that I just like trees, but I really like to explore the way the colors interact with each other and just how they can kind of play on the canvas. I guess that's the best way I can describe it.
What type of paint? Is it acrylic? Is it oil?
It's oil paint, yeah. I used to paint with acrylics, but when I tried oil paintings, it was just like this magical light bulb turned on. The colors were so vibrant and luminous, and I just felt like that's what I had been trying to do with acrylic paints for a really long time, and it was just, there was no comparison, yeah.
But when you draw things other than branches.
Yeah, well, I draw a lot of woodland creatures, adorable woodland creatures in their woodland homes.
And some may like to be in the branches someday.
Yes, absolutely.
If you let them.
Yeah, definitely.
Claire, you're painting and drawing, and so do you have both a painting and a drawing in at Reese Bullen?
No, I have two drawings in there currently. I have a drawing that I did last year, and that's a color pencil and with a gouache background, very light and subtle. And it's a drawing of a chimpanzee alone. And so highly rendered. And the other one is very different. I have and it's on a really big paper, I'd say about 20 by 32, maybe, pretty substantial size. And it's just a big graphite drawing, and it has, and it's very surreal. So it's a very surreal graphite drawing, a lot of line, and it's got three different figures in it, and it's...
Are the figures recognizable, or are they very abstract?
Oh, no, the figures are mainly female, obscured forms, kind of with really exaggerated features and heads, so they're very... kind of esoteric or ethereal, more so. This is actually a recent drawing I just did. I really worked on it up until the last minute to get it into the show, but I feel very satisfied with it. The initiation for this piece, sort of, I started off thinking about poses and the gestures, and then about how that feels. So I feel like movement and movement into the body, and yoga was really kind of inspiring for it in a way. And just thinking of renewal and transformation and ascension into your own higher power, whatever that may be.
Well, I think this is a good time to ask all of you about what you've learned here at Humboldt State University in your 4 years here studying art, because Claire, you were talking about ascension.
Yeah.
Development.
Sure.
So starting with you, Claire.
The really great thing is just being in an environment around other artists who come from so many different influences, and, you know, and then all the teachers, that they have their different styles, and they bring different things forward that you can take and learn from, or kind of pick and choose. And that's what I love. That's what I really loved about it, is just the interaction, making those connections, learning the different techniques, and then exploring things that I may not have initially been gravitated to, you know, whether that be, I don't know, just a different way of approaching drawing, or messing around with some collage. I've been loving collage, playing with that some, or, you know, I started oil painting too, coming here. And that's just, I was really, really jiving with what you were saying about oil paints, because I know how that feels so different than working with acrylic, or, because I heard once that, you know, acrylic is plastic, but oil is from the earth. And there really is a different feeling. It's like butter, and it's so smooth, and it's fleshy, and it has a different feeling.
And what have you let go of being here, as far as perhaps a way you approached art, or the idea of art making, or art opportunities before you became a student?
Oh, well, I haven't really thought of that so much. What I've let go of, I guess, kind of also going back to what I was saying, is just having a sense of some kind of limitation because of time, I think, and the schedules and the routines and deadlines. I feel like there's certain things that I haven't been able to dedicate or work on as much as I would have liked to have. Or I've say, well, I know I have this much time to do this, so I think realistically about what I'll be most fulfilled and enjoy working on with the time frame that I'm given.
And Jackie, what have you learned?
I've taken a lot of art history classes, so I want to start there. I guess I've been really inspired by looking at historic art and just being kind of overwhelmed by the modernity of it. You know, even art that's hundreds or even thousands of years old, it can look really fresh. And I find that really inspiring to build off of and get ideas from. And I also feel like that we've been really lucky with the instructors that we've had. I've been just really, I feel like they've guided me in ways and pushed me to, you know, to get better and to take risks and just really seeing, you know, aspects of what I was doing that I hadn't considered before, and also just how disciplined and how diligent that we need to be as working artists to just do it, you know, just to consistently do it, even if we're not in the mood, or and not to wait for this, you know, kind of ephemeral idea of inspiration to kind of come down upon us, but to really just consistently get it done and to keep at it even if it doesn't turn out, and, you know, just like just to really consistently put the time in.
So in terms of what you've let go of, well, in a way, is maybe letting go of impatience.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I'll ever truly. I'm kind of like an instant gratification kind of girl. So, yeah, that's a continuing struggle for me. I think what I've tried to let go of is just hesitation and playing it safe. You know, I've tried to let go, tried to, like, embrace taking risks. And as much as that's a continuing process, too, I feel like I've let go of a lot of playing it safe and mm-hmm. doing things that feel like, you know, not scary, if mm-hmm. that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, even a brushstroke can be really scary if you've spent a little, all this time on a painting or a drawing, and you don't want to mess it up, you know, but you have to. Sometimes you gotta mess it up a little bit.
And Elisa, same question for you. What have you learned?
One of the things I learned about the process of art making is sometimes it's not always about how much talent or even time. It's just if you're hardworking, you'll always be rewarded in your work. It would always show how much hard work you put into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I also found that, because I started here as a forestry major, and as I was progressing, I was like, I don't feel like this is right for me. And then I took a drawing class, and it felt very natural, especially with pen and ink, like traditional pen and ink with a dip pen. I like to say microns are for cowards.
I wish you could see her work. She's like with oh. the mm-hmm. lighted microns. Oh. It's beautiful.
I practiced a little bit of excessive patience in my work.
What have you learned to let go of?
I've learned to let go of hard details, I suppose. Just letting go. I used to be very, very particular about my work. And now I'm not as... I don't stress as much of the details as I used to. Yeah, try to be as free-flowing as I can and work from a place that's more left brain than right brain.
Elisa Griego. Also, Claire Esselstrom and Jackie Langland. The 2017 Art Graduates Exhibition at HSU's Reese Bullen Gallery this Thursday, April 20th through May 13th. An opening reception and award ceremony is this Thursday from 5 to 6:30 p.m. at the Art Department building. The gallery is free. For more information, contact the gallery office at 826-5814 or rbg@humboldt.edu. I'm Wendy Butler, and this is Art Waves on KHSU. HSU Theater, Film, and Dance Department presents Josefina Lopez's comedy, Real Women Have Curves, at Gist Hall Theater this Friday and Saturday, April 21st and 22nd, and then Thursday, April 27th through Saturday the 29th. All of these performances at 7:30 p.m., and there is one Sunday matinee performance scheduled for 2 p.m., April 30th. The play is directed by guest artist Brenda Hubbard, who has directed, acted in, written, or produced more than 150 productions, and her work has included that with Oregon Shakespeare Festival, among many others. Brenda Hubbard is my guest, along with two of the actors in this play. HSU Theater Arts student Marisa Sanchez and HSU Theater Arts and Psychology student Amy Beltran. Let's start out by having you, Brenda, talk about some of the key themes of this play, which is a comedy.
The play is about five Latina women who work in a sweatshop in East LA. And it's a mother and two daughters, and then in addition to that, two other women who work in the little factory, the little sewing factory. And they're creating fancy high-end dresses to be sold at a store like Nordstrom. And it's really the story of their lives, their hopes, their dreams, their aspirations. The older women have one attitude about life and marriage and sexuality, and the younger women have a different view. And so it really examines how women feel about themselves, their bodies, their parents, their future, their hopes and dreams. And it really is a beautiful, funny, but also with some very serious elements, really examines what it's like for these women who are uniquely Chicana women, but also they also represent the way most women feel about themselves, that we're not quite good enough. We, you know, a lot of women feel body shame and fat shame and, you know, have body dysmorphia issues. And so this play examines those issues and does so in a funny way, but also a very touching way. And the women, through the course of the play, really learn to empower each other, and they the end of the play speaks of their successes and how they overcome some of their obstacles through working together.
This play takes place in the 1980s?
Yeah, 1987.
All right. I was wondering about that, if it was written to have taken place earlier in the century.
Well, no, it takes place in 1987, and one of the issues that's also key that is extremely relevant right now is the whole immigration issue, because in this play we have four of the women who have green cards or are they are working in the country or living in the country legally, and then one woman who is not. And there's always this fear of deportation that's going on. And so one of the main themes in the play examines what is it like to live in a culture where you are constantly fearful of being displaced or sent away. And as we know, this is a huge issue right now in our country. And I think it resonates extremely profoundly for the Humboldt community.
Well, Amy, I'd like to talk with you next. You are from Los Angeles.
Correct.
You're from East Los Angeles. Coincidentally.
Yeah.
We're dealing with very frightening issues concerning immigration in this country right now. When you were growing up, or even still now, how is this affecting you personally and your family? Can you share some of how you're feeling about this?
Yeah, definitely. They came up here, my mom came up here from Culiacan, Sinaloa, in Mexico, and she created a life here. So I resonate a lot with this play, a lot, because my mom worked in the same industry and she still pushed through, and now I'm pushing through and I want to break through this barrier that, you know, because I'm a female and I have this other thing that I'm a minority because of my ethnicity. So I still deal with that every day.
In fact, Amy, didn't you grow up several blocks from where this
yeah.
play is pictured?
Yeah. I was talking with Brenda one day and I told her when I was seeing some of the murals that, you know, that kind of resonated with this play, it was like two blocks away from my home. So I was like, that's my home. That literally, I walked by this thing when I was growing up every day. So it just shocked me when I was like, wow, this is really close, like really close.
Tell us about your character, Pancha.
Pancha, she's very sassy. She's got an attitude. She is the embodiment of what people picture a Latina woman to be. You know, she has the sass, she talks back, and she just, you know, she's a woman. She's a strong woman that doesn't like to be pushed around.
Let's talk to Marisa. Do you want to share anything personal, like I asked Amy, about your growing up, your family, and what's going on now with immigration in this country?
Yeah, definitely. They are from Mexico, from Jalisco in particular. I mean, they spread around all around Mexico, but that's kind of the main area. I am still fearful for, like, my friends' families and my extended family, and it's still something that kind of stresses me out and is extremely overwhelming. And especially last semester when the whole election process was happening, and I work at the Latinx Center for Academic Excellence on campus, and for 3 weeks after the whole election went down, we had students just come in and just cry because they were terrified for their families. And then a month ago when the ICE raids were happening in the area, we had to send out a mass email to our student population letting them know that this was happening and to contact their families because they need to be safe. So yes, it has affected me, not in my family, but it has affected me through like work and just friends and stuff.
Well, tell if you could about your character, Anna.
Yeah, Anna is very much like myself. She is this very spunky character. She loves to talk. She loves to be heard. And she is very smart. Maybe a little too smart for her own good. She has been impacted by kind of the educational system. So she's realizing at a very young age, she's realizing things that I didn't realize until I was in college. She's realizing, she's learning about the women's liberation movement, about sexual liberation, and all these things that are going on in our society that, you know, we have to unlearn. And she's kind of trying to, she's, I would say, forcing, kind of, in a way, the older women. She's trying to, like, force them to unlearn all these things that they have learned. But along the way, she ends up learning from the women that she's working with, which isn't something she expected. She expected to be the teacher rather than the student.
Are the characters of Anna and Pancha, are you related?
No.
No.
They are not related.
Are you playing characters who are similar in ages to your age, which I'm thinking you're in your 20s?
I am 21, but my character is, I would say she's probably 17, 18.
So it's very close.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm 20, and my character's around 32 years old. So
Brenda, let me ask you, and I would love for everybody to comment on this as well. In your goals for staging this production, what are your goals for your actors?
Primarily, my first goal is to work with actors in a way that empowers them and mentors them to achieve a high degree of excellence and be proud of their work and develop themselves and think of themselves in new ways. I always think about that as a teacher. That's a main goal. And directors, no matter whether you're directing professionally or in a university setting, directors are always teachers too. So my goal was really, I wanted to work with a group of women where we would together discover a play and learn things about ourselves, learn things about each other, and learn things about the play, and develop a really fine piece of theater that was also life-changing for us personally. And I think that when you do theater well, that's what happens. It changes lives in very, you know, subtle ways because we start to see the world in a different way. And by virtue of the fact that I'm a white director working with Latina women, I'm learning wonderful things about the beauty of the culture, which I had already admired and appreciated because of my teaching and my background in teaching previously. But it's different when you're working with women in a group like this. And it's the first time I've ever worked with five Latina women before. So I love that. You know, there's a lot of good natured teasing that goes on when I try to, my Spanish is somewhat limited at times. I can't, there are certain words I simply can't say and keep trying. But, you know, it's good. I mean, it's, I learn more and I have grown in my appreciation just being here at Arcata and getting to know the wonderful students on this campus, to see just the remarkable young people that are here and in the Latino community. I love it. It's really inspiring to me.
Well, let me ask, and I'll start with Amy on this. The play itself, is it teaching you anything about yourself that perhaps you hadn't thought of before?
Yes. I mean, it teaches a lot. I think I've learned mostly one of the biggest things with this play is the self-love thing. I am a big girl. I'm not a really tiny, tiny person, but just these characters and this play and just how it's written, it's really, it shows how no matter what you are, no matter how you are, no matter, you know, ethnicity, color, anything, any size you are, you can be whatever you want and you should be super happy with what you are. And I think this play is just embodies the self-love movement. Like, it just, it's so beautiful in that aspect.
Now, there are no men in this play, are there?
No
men in this play. What is this play saying about men?
You pose an interesting question, because when we say that the play is about women, there's almost an assumption that there must be something negative about men. And that's not necessarily true, that, you know, it's possible for women to be strong, to be full of self-realization, self-love, self-empowerment, and not do it at the expense of other people. And I think that's one of the themes of the play. Marissa, what do you think?
I agree with that.
Yeah,
very much so. I mean, you said it all. I mean, I was just here nodding. Yes, I agree with everything you said, everything. All the way. Well, yes, it is. It is a play about women and for women, and we do speak about men, like here and there, just kind of tossed in there. But it's not. It doesn't really focus.
And I think that men would find the play really compelling too, because they get to sort of see the underbelly, the inside part of when women are together and when women are struggling with issues and the issues that they struggle with and how they overcome them and their humor and their strengths and their fragilities, and all of that is fully realized in this play, I think.
Mm-hmm. Brenda Hubbard, director. Also here have been actors Marisa Sanchez and Amy Beltran. Real Women Have Curves at HSU's Gist Hall Theater this Friday and Saturday, April 21st and 22nd, and then Thursday, April 27th through Saturday the 29th. These performances at 7:30 p.m. And there is one Sunday matinee performance at 2 p.m. on April 30th. The play is recommended for high school age or older. For tickets, phone 826-3928. For more information, you can phone HSU Theater, Film, and Dance Department at 826-3566. I'm Wendy Butler, and our Art Waves is produced for KHSU at Humboldt State University. Catch the regular broadcasts each Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. and streaming live and archived programs available on our website at khsu.org. And you can also download podcasts of the program at iTunes. Until next time, thank you for listening to Art Waves.
You are listening to KHSU and KHSU HD 90.5 Arcata, KHSR 91.9 Crescent City, and KHSG 89.9 Garberville. Support comes from Arcata Artisans Cooperative Gallery on the Plaza, offering locally made fine art and crafts, gifts, and art cards. This April, the gallery features the work of Patricia Sennett and Diane Sondreger. Also, the world-renowned glass artist George Bouquet has joined the cooperative. Arcata Artisans, never not local. More at arcataartisans.com. And donors to KHSU include Six Rivers Optical, offering a large selection of eyewear, sunglasses, and contact lenses. Same-day services available for prescriptions in stock. Six Rivers Optical, celebrating over 36 years of keeping life in focus. Open Monday through Saturday on Harrison Avenue, next to Lima's Pharmacy in Eureka. Info at sixriversoptical.com.